Hello, listeners. It is almost Halloween. I'm shocked. The whole month went by, and I've hardly played any horror games. I feel so ashamed of myself. I played a few now and then. We played Soma, Love Soma, heartbreaking, just soul-crushing game. But this week, we're welcoming back one of my favorite guests on the podcast. It is the one and only Nath Hamley, developer of Chasing Static, out now on Steam. Also, Nath, I think it's like a year anniversary of the game coming out.
Yeah.
Nearly.
Yeah, just about.
Holy shit. Yeah,
50% off on Steam to celebrate.
Oh my God. Yeah, for a whopping $8.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Everyone go buy it. Like, pause the podcast, go buy this game, come on back. Actually, go buy the game, play it, and then come back. Because it's not terribly long, but it's amazing.
No, thank you.
It's an amazing game.
Go play it, and if you like it, leave a review, because that always helps.
Yeah, I got a prompt. I was like, you know what? I'll review it at some point. I'll do our buddy a favor.
Yeah, it's good.
But, solid. But he's back, boys and girls.
I am.
With a new game. And that new game is Hollow Body, a classic survival horror gameplay-inspired horror title. I like copied and pasted like half a sentence in my show documents. Let me just go to the Kickstarter and redo that. A tech noir homage to classic survival horror. It's early, guys. It's 10 o'clock in the morning for me. I'm on no sleep. I watched Barbarian last night. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen it, no.
Okay. I'm going to send it to you via Dropbox or some sort of file sharing mechanism.
Nice.
Do not Google anything about it. Don't watch a trailer. Okay. Don't read a review. Just go in like completely blind. It is like the most subversive horror film I've seen in a very long time.
Nice. High praise.
Yeah. It's when you're watching it as a horror fan and you think you know exactly where it's going to go and you're calling shit out in your mind like, oh, that's going to happen. They're setting up this person's clearly an asshole. No.
Cool.
It's like
sounds good.
The
yeah.
movie's like no.
Sweet, yeah. I'll avoid trailers. I don't really like watching trailers for films anyway. Like, yeah. I don't mind watching them a few months out because I've normally forgotten half the stuff. But yeah, certainly not when it's something I'm about to watch.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's not like, you know, some horror masterpiece, but it's like, it's a lot of everything. I don't want to say anything more. Just go watch it. I'll give it to you. You'll watch it. You'll get back to me. You'll praise me. Be like, thank you, Andy. Great recommendation.
You changed my life.
You changed my life. So let's get into Hollow Body, which, oh man, it's amazing when I see a developer invoke the memory of Silent Hill 3 specifically as an inspiration for a horror game. That like gets me all, it gets me violently erect when I hear that as an inspiration.
Yeah,
but then
so I was gonna say, like, a lot of people reference Silent Hill 2 because arguably it's probably the best in the franchise. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of horror games about apathetic, depressed, male, white protagonists. Like, mm-hmm. that's been done a lot. And the thing that I love about Silent Hill 3 is, like, you've got a character that is, like, strong and, like, doesn't want to deal with any of this shit. She's done with it. Like,
she's so over it in that game.
Yeah, like, I don't know. She has a really, like, a strong personality, and I like that. I felt like writing a female character as well. Obviously, with, you know, with some advice from my partner and stuff, because, you know, being male, I've got to make sure that I do it justice. But yeah, sorry, you can carry on now. I interrupted a bit there.
God, I have no idea how to write a female character. Even as a gay man, I feel like I can't even. What do you write? Like, arg, periods. I don't know what where to start. Like, what do I do?
Yeah, I'm trying not to approach it in
Ooh,
like
sexism.
specifically.
Like, I don't know any of that.
Yeah,
Where to
I don't want
begin?
to like write it from necessarily like a female mindset or my interpretation
Right,
of a female
right.
mindset. It's more about writing a genuine character and then having someone proofread it and someone make sure that I'm not tripping up anywhere. But
But then again, like, it's an amazing game to like reference and be inspired from, but then you also throw in, I think, one of my all-time favorite horror games in the mix, and that's Rule of Rose, which, clunky as that game may be, that is such a creepy, well-put-together horror game from the PS2 era. And to see you like spotlight as like, this was a source of inspiration for Hollow Body. I know you're on the right path.
that's good to hear. Yeah, no, it's a great game. I recently replayed it along with like Kuon, or I
Oh,
don't know if that's how you pronounce
also,
it, Kuon.
yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I think a lot of it was about sort of establishing in that very short sentence on Kickstarter that this isn't just another game that's trying to be Silent Hill. Like, it's trying to encapsulate a lot of things from different survival horror games of that era. I think they all have their merits and they all have things that are worth drawing from in a new title. Yeah, so like part of it was sort of just establishing like, look, I kind of know the genre pretty well. Oh, sorry, knocked something over. And like these are some of my favorite ones, so.
So I think we should start there. The Kickstarter. Was this your first foray into like a crowdfunded campaign?
So
Like,
technically it was my second Kickstarter,
got it. Okay.
but the first one was about 6 years ago. I was still working full time in video production. I'd been working on Guard Duty as like a sort of side project in my spare time for about 4 or 5 years at that point. And it was at the point where I thought like this game actually could, you know, could potentially be a commercial game. People would probably pay to play this. So I did a really small Kickstarter. I asked for £2,000, which is in hindsight absolutely nothing when you're trying to make a video game. And it made about 4,000 and something, I think.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, that was a long time ago, and Kickstarter was quite different then. I didn't have any following or anything. So yeah, this one was a bit of a culture shock when I was like researching how to do Kickstarters and the things you have to keep in mind for them. But yeah, it went really well. I was really, really happy with it.
Yeah, so like what did you expect going in? Like, again, modest, like £15,000 like asking price to fund this thing, and then you get like nearly double what you expected. What is the what's that initial reaction like for you
So
seeing that support from people?
it was, yeah, amazing. Really, truly amazing. I mean, I've sort of, over the last few years, I've seen like Twitter followers grow and like more and more people sort of be receptive to what I post on Twitter when it comes to game stuff. And like every now and then people will reach out and say, you know, your stuff inspires me. How did you do this or that? Which is amazing. But the Kickstarter really kind of cemented that and like really showed me just how many people there are out there that are like, I'll support this guy. You know, he shipped a couple of games. They were fairly good, like maybe not
Right.
like the best games ever, but they were good enough for a lot of people. He's working on something new, so I'll just throw money at him without any guarantee that it will get made. But yeah, that like people having that much faith in me as a developer was amazing. Yeah, I went into it asking for 15,000. I thought if I can hit 15,000, then I can keep working on this game for probably another sort of 8 to 10 months, to the point where I could, you know, maybe get a publisher to add a little bit of additional funding, or ship it and make it slightly shorter than I'd like to. But yeah, it's I got almost double. I think it's about 28 in the end. Kickstarter take a big chunk of that, and then the tax man takes an even bigger chunk of that. So, you know, I end up with about 20 in the bank.
End up with like £2,000 to make that
No, I think, yeah, it's about 5,000 of its tax alone
Oh
is
my God.
without the Kickstarter stuff.
I don't get it.
But yeah, it's a great experience.
That's the real horror story, the tax man coming to take your money from you.
Is, yeah. Keeps me up at night.
As a fan of like Chasing Static and your works before this, it's I think what really gets me is the fact that you're not, as a developer, as a solo developer, even more so, you're not playing it safe. Because you could have gone back and done another short story horror game in the same engine, the same lo-fi PS1 aesthetic with the first person perspective, and spit that out, and we would have all loved it. Because you're a great storyteller. You know how horror works, essentially.
Thank you. Cheers.
Like you get it. But you decide to like you're doing a generational leap from the PS1 to a PS2 aesthetic. Now it's a third person camera. Now there's combat. Now it's a more fleshed out experience.
Yeah.
How's that process been like for you, doing such a big jump in like the tech, the gameplay style, like the mechanics, all of it? How has that been from your
Yeah.
previous work to this one?
I mean, I think I was a bit naive going into it. I think last time I spoke to you, I mentioned how I was l hoping to do like a PS2
Yeah,
aesthetic
and I was like,
survival horror-y
you
sort of
damn
thing.
better. I was like, do it
Yeah.
now. Get
So yeah,
off the
that's
show
the
and work
reason
on
why I
it.
did it. I
Of
couldn't let you down. No,
course.
yeah, I would so yeah, went into it with like a naive optimism for, I've done this first person thing. Got a handle on 3D now. PS2 is not a huge step up in regards to modeling and texturing. You don't have to go into the realm of like specular and normal maps and baking down different texture maps and roughness and stuff. It's all still just like old school texturing where an object's got a texture and you can set its smoothness. That's it. But yeah, the real challenge has cropped up over and over again throughout development. It's like at first, it's like, oh, look, I can control a character moving around in third person with fixed camera. This is great. Switch to another camera angle, and all the controls just reverse. They run backwards on themselves. And I'm like, oh yeah, that old chestnut from Final Fantasy, and like running between scenes on like Final Fantasy VIII, and your whole party just turns around and runs in
Yep.
its direction because the controls are inverted. So yeah, I figured that out, and then it's like, okay, I can run between them now. You can't have cameras moving too much because that also interferes with the control. So I've got to keep cameras fairly stationary-ish. It's like, oh, combat, that's great. Yeah, I've got a pistol working. And I tried to do melee and like, so where it's higher fidelity and higher resolution, there's still like a downsampling on the resolution. It still blurs things a bit to kind of make things blend together better. But where you've got this character on screen all the time, there are so many animations that you have to source from like motion capture packages that you buy stuff, and then you've got to try and blend them together. So you've got to worry about a different set of walking animations for when you're locked on and aiming on an enemy, because your normal ones aren't going to work because you need like a back step and a side step and stuff. And then trying to time melee hits with like enemy hit reactions. And it's just every time I think I've made some progress, I realize there's like another thing. But
And you can't use the PS1 aesthetic to hide things either. Like you can
yeah.
mask things in like crunchy like graphics that the draw distance also you can there's fog. I can hide things and not do as much detail. But now it's like you have to show more
Yeah.
of what you're working on. You can't hide it behind the lo-fi graphics anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like with environments, it's not so hard because you put more props in. Takes a little bit longer, obviously, but like you can have like decals on the floor for dirt and debris and stuff. But yeah, the biggest one was just the fact that you've always got a character on screen and the player can move them any direction they want at any time, and try to make sure like they don't trigger a pickup animation when they're facing the wrong way and then they pick up like in the wrong direction. And it was a lot. But I kind of finally got a handle on it about a month prior to the Kickstarter, and I was like, oh, this is working pretty well now. I've put a lot of work in, but everything feels pretty solid. So that gave me the confidence to announce it and say, yep, go on then. I'm doing it. No turning back now.
And also, I mean, I want to get into the game at some point. Like meat potatoes of it. But even your Kickstarter, it was like we were talking on Twitter. It was like kind of on a whim when you launched it, because you were like, you know what? Tokyo Game Show is happening. I'm just gonna throw this thing out there,
Yeah.
and see what happens.
Essentially, yeah. So I probably was being a bit silly, but I was worried about Konami announcing something to do with Silent Hill
Oh
prior to
yeah.
announcing my thing.
Oh my God, that was right. Yeah.
So there were leaks of this woman with like Minger written across her face, which is
Oh yeah.
a British slang word. I was
Yeah.
like, oh, if they set a Silent Hill in Britain, the only difference in mine is like the future aspect. And a lot of the game takes place in this abandoned British city. So like visually, if they did something British, it's going to look very similar, and it's kind of, stepping on my toes. And just like there's been a lot of buzz around Silent Hill prior to that announcement, and I thought, it would be nice to kind of ride that a little bit, and show people that there's like a traditional survival horror game that, is a throwback to the classics, that is an option prior to whatever they announce. If they announce something and everyone said it was rubbish, then people can be like, oh, no, this game's actually more in line
At
with.
least we got this game to look forward
Yeah,
to.
exactly. So, yeah, I just kind of went for it. People advised me with Kickstarter saying, oh, there are these companies that you need to sign up to, and they'll run like Facebook ads and they'll run Instagram ads and they'll monitor everything, and they give you like click through rates, and you only pay based on how many views. And it all sounded like super corporate and completely the opposite of the reason why I wanted to do a Kickstarter. Like, I didn't want to give a percentage of what I got to a company because they helped market it. And
Right. You wanted the more organic, like,
yeah, I was like,
grassroots approach.
100%. I was like, I've got these people who support me on Twitter and other platforms, Discord guys. Let's see if they'll help me a little bit financially, which they did, which is really sweet.
Yeah, and there's such a hunger for games like this. Again, now Konami has since come back and really invested big time into Silent Hill. We'll get into that later part of the show. But prior to that whole like big reveal of like here's like 25 new games in a movie, there was like nothing. Like we've had a lot of smaller games, and it's all indie developers who are kind of like pushing for like a Silent Hill type of game into the media, and you're one of the few. So to see a game that looks as well put together as Hollow Body does, it's like it feels like it was ripped from like the PS2 era. Did I miss this game growing up? Where was this game when I was a kid with my PS2? So yeah, having all of those people like just at the ready, and when your game was announced, it was like, how much of my money can I afford to throw at this thing?
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm glad the PS2 vibe came across. It's kind of a hard vibe to capture
It is,
because
yeah.
a lot of people are used to seeing that those games through an emulator, like 1080, because everyone upscales them now. And yeah, you run the risk of just making a game that looks like a bad attempt at a AAA game. So yeah, I'm glad it came across. I'm pretty happy with how it looks. I keep tweaking like the shaders that down res it and stuff. So sometimes I'll have it like a PS2 resolution, and then I'm like, if I up the resolution a bit, we get a bit more detail. It's a bit nicer, but yeah, overall, aesthetically, I'm quite happy with it.
So, what is Hollow Body? Give us like the elevator pitch. What
Sure.
what's going on here,
So,
besides being spooky as fuck?
in short, it's a survival horror game that takes elements of games like Silent Hill and Resident Evil. Narratively, or thematically, it's mixing them with things from Blade Runner and Ghost in the Shell. That kind of sci-fi, but where there's like a sort of grounded element of it. There's a term, cassette futurism, which is kind of
Oh.
describes like the aesthetic of the classic Alien movies, and where there's like a lot of CRTs and
Right.
it's not like flat screen panels and touch screens. It's all like quite tangible tech. Retrofuturism kind of touches on that as well, but I think the term the kids are using is cassette futurism these days. So it's like a sci-fi world, but it's very much grounded. set on Earth. They're not on like a space station. The city that Mika, our protagonist, is from is very densely populated, like something you'd see in Blade Runner with like neon signs, but not like Cyberpunk 2077, where it's just neon absolutely everywhere. It's a lot more sort of grim, dark. And yeah, she's a shipper, which is essentially like a Just Eat delivery driver for black market deals in the future. So she gets paid to do runs across no man's land. So there's this abandoned area of the UK where a incident happened and people were evacuated. The sort of the details of the incident are something you find out about in the game, but on surface value it seems like something bad happened in the city, and she's doing runs across it for various people so she can take packages backwards and forwards to bad people. But Mika's story in this is she crash lands in this city. Something goes wrong with her hover. She has a hover car because hover cars are cool.
Of course, it's the future. Why not?
Yeah, it's probably the most futuristic element of it, but it was fun for me. It's quite inspired by Blade Runner 2049 as well, the second film. But yeah, she crashes in this abandoned city, and it's surrounded by a colossal wall because they had to cordon it off to make sure whatever happened inside didn't get out across the waters. So she has to find a way out. There's a lot of personal backstory to do with Mika that ties into the things that you find in the city. Obviously, spoiler territory there, so I won't give away too much. But there's like an underlying personal story there. And throughout the game, there are like flashbacks that come in, which start to unravel this backstory. So you play very small narrative-based sequences to break up the survival horror gameplay that are set in the past in the big flashy cyberpunk city. So as well as experiencing it at the start of the game when you leave to go on your delivery and crash, you also see it through flashbacks as you play through.
Yeah, I see your little peaks of chasing static coming in now with these flashbacks.
Yeah, I really like
You couldn't help yourself, could you?
Yeah, I can't. No, I love like narrative that's delivered through tiny little tidbits that you can kind of try and piece together as you're experiencing the film or the game or whatever, and like draw your own conclusions. And eventually, something gets established at the end. But
What does the moment-to-moment gameplay look like in Hollow Body?
so you it has like the survival horror elements, as in you have limited ammo. Mika starts with her sidearm, which is just in case her deals go wrong and someone tries to get the better of her. So she's got a cyberpunky pistol with one clip of bullets.
Oh
And
shit.
yeah, that's essentially all you have, apart from a lighter, which is a family heirloom passed down through generations. And so you crash land, and the first point of contact is to try and radio in to someone on your team. Due to the electrical storm, which is engulfing the whole city, which also contributed to you crashing, you can't get a radio signal through. Very sort of the radio, the signal's not great when you first try and call in. So she's decided to go to the top of the nearest building, which happens to be this big apartment block, to try and establish a radio signal back to base. So like the first sort of half an hour, 40 minutes of the game, you explore a small part of the city until you get to this housing block called Rogate House. And then you need to make your way through the housing block. Some of the stairs are blocked off. There's a strange biomechanical mass, sort of bioorganic, like not alien, but there's something weird that is growing throughout the city. And as you play
I
through the
love
game,
it.
you start to see more and more of this mass. And with the nature of it being biomechanical, Mika has she's from the future. She has like an implant in her head which allows her to see
Naturally.
statistics. Yeah, naturally, right? So like when you walk up to any corpse in the game, it shows you their date of birth, their age, their status, which is obviously deceased. It gives
You
you
would
like a
hope.
little, yeah, it taps into the city's registry of citizens, and it gives you a little bit of information about each of the corpses, which is fun from a world building point of view. But also it means that this biomechanical stuff can kind of, it's possibly airborne. I'm really like tiptoeing around spoilers here.
Here's the whole game, start to finish.
So Mika will essentially experience some hallucination kind of things as she goes around, which may or may not be related to the stuff that's growing in the environments she explores.
So is it mainly like exploration with puzzle solving, like a classic, tank control based survival horror game with peppered enemy encounters with some combat?
Yeah, 100%. The combat's frequency is closer to something like Silent Hill 2 than Silent Hill 3. I think
Oh, yeah.
3's probably got more combat, and then 4's got loads. But yeah, it's puzzles are kind of my bread and butter. First game I made was an adventure game, so I keep always fall back to doing puzzles. I enjoy making puzzles. So there's a bunch, there's loads. But then in between that, you're fighting off weird mutated biomechanical monsters, and trying to survive. It doesn't have tank controls, or it doesn't at the
Okay.
moment. It's uses like, I don't know, I think they call them 2D controls in Silent Hill, but
That's
where
like where
left.
you point, you go, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Which is like a challenge from a design point of view. But I've got it working at the moment. It feels good. So that's what I'm going with.
How, in terms of like, again, comparing to your last game, is this more like a 6 to 8 hour experience? Is it longer, like in terms of
It's
total game time?
hard to say. On the Kickstarter, I said same length as Chasing Static, 2 to 3 hours. Some people spent 5 or 6 hours on Chasing Static. It depends your pace and how many times you want to replay things.
Or
But
if you're
there's
me, how many brain cells you have.
exactly, yeah. I mean, different stuff for different people. But there's going to be like some new game plus features, like
Oh, cool.
I'm planning on implementing a first person mode so you can sort of explore the environments and have a little look around in first person. And like sort of I'm hoping to have like stuff like random enemy spawns and random item locations and stuff for repeat playthroughs, different difficulties. Because it's got that action-y element, it's got the survival element which Chasing Static didn't have, means there's a lot of that I can do to sort of pad out the experience a bit without it feeling like padding. So I'm expecting it to be a little bit longer than Chasing Static, but I also don't want to spend 100, next 5 years working on it. I want to have it shipped hopefully within the next year or two.
Listen, that's totally fine. It could be like a nice 4 hour experience. But again, if you're gonna have Silent Hill 3 as like your main inspiration point, I gotta see like some sort of like Sailor Moon sexy transformation costume at some point, some laser eye beams.
Yeah, well,
I want like wacky over the top unlockables, 'cause that is also a staple of horror games. Like, I don't know why we lost that idea. I'm not sure when it happened, like when the memo went out to stop giving fun unlockables in these horror games. Like
I think
Resident Evil did it, Silent Hill did it, and then it stopped.
they seem to like gate them behind paid DLC and stuff now,
Yeah.
don't they? Because there were a few for the Resident Evil 2 remake, but they were all like ones you had to pay for, which is a bit sad. Yeah, one of the stretch goals on Kickstarter was to have Major Motoko Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell, a skin based on her like combat uniform from the first film, which is as much for me as it is for everyone else, really. I'd love to run through playing as Motoko, but yeah, that stuff like that is planned. There's
Good.
currently one weapon I've actually implemented that isn't going to be in the first run of the game. It will be a new game plus weapon.
I
It's not
love
like
it.
not super exciting, but yeah,
You
play
need
whenever
like
I.
a sort of anti or reverse like UFO ending or dog ending in this game.
Yeah, like it was
Did
all.
you get the cat ending yet or the goldfish ending in this game?
It was all the snail. I don't know why snail, but we get a lot of them here at this time of year.
What have you learned in designing horror and how to scare people between your last project, Chasing Static, and now Hollowbody. How have you evolved in your craft as a horror game developer between both titles?
I've replayed a lot of horror games between them both, taken a lot of notes, and also I've kind of like learned that I need to just try a lot harder to scare people. Really, because like so many people said, Chasing Static wasn't scary, and it wasn't into. I at no point did I try and make it. I think there was one scene in the cafe where the waitress gets all messed up by a demon thing, and I was like, oh, I want that to be really shocking, but I wasn't ever trying to make it like really super scary. So this time I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna like I've got the most of the design has been designed around set pieces that I think will be spooky. So like as you're exploring this apartment block, which I keep coming back to that because that's most of the work I've put into it at the moment has been this apartment block, and it's kind of a staple of these games anyway. But yeah, a lot of the navigation throughout that has been based around certain like scares that want to happen. Like combat doesn't come in until about 20 minutes into the game, so you get like a lot of atmosphere first. And yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily stuff like that I can say that I've learned other than just being mindful of what other games have done, what other films have
and
done.
going for it this time around. I mean,
yeah,
like Chasing Static, like again, I don't think it's a game that scared me. It was deeply unsettling. Like there's something about walking down like a very narrow abandoned like corridor with like this like very gentle somber like piano playing in the background with the faint light of your flashlight barely illuminating 5 feet ahead of you.
Yep.
And you don't know what's going to happen, and it's like it's just that note throughout the entire experience that carries it. That to me, like, it gets under your skin, like it gets like into your bones. It's so deep, that level of discomfort.
Yeah, I think that's something I'll be carrying across in this one. So my brother Soto Yoto, or Brendan is his actual name, he did the soundtrack for Chasing Static.
I love it.
Did most of it. I did a couple of tracks, like the title music and some music for the cafe. But this time, he did an amazing job. Really did an amazing job. This time round, I kind of got a taste for doing music when I did the couple of tracks I did for Chasing Static, and I thought I'd really like to give it a go for this one. So that kind of slow ambience is definitely something that I'm hoping to convey in this one. I think even in a sci-fi setting, piano still works quite well.
Oh my god, yeah.
I've been playing Signalis.
Oh my god.
The last couple of days.
why is it so good?
I'm a little bit frustrated that it's so good, because it's like I've got to somehow compete with this. And like this masterpiece, everything about it so far has just been brilliant. But yeah, they have like a repeating piano motif throughout. Mm-hmm. Which I think is like a classical piece of music. It's probably public domain now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they managed to pull off having like an analog piano amongst synthy sci-fi stuff. So I'm not too worried about that. But
yeah,
yeah,
I'm like strapped into that game, because like it's, you're invoking like there's like that top-down Metal Gear Solid sort of vibe going on. And then I'm catching like a lot of Silent Hill 4 references throughout. And it's like also like set in the future. With a little bit of Blade Runner, because you're a replica. So there's a lot of elements that I'm just like, that make me very happy when it comes to a horror game. And like, I can say it's one of my favorite games of the year so far, easily.
I think so too. I'm about, my save file says 5.5 hours, but I'm playing on this hardest difficulty. So I've died a fair few times. I stopped playing to come and chat to you, so that shows how into that game.
Oh my god!
But yeah,
I kind of feel bad. It's like no one should talk to me to stop playing that game.
I need to savor the experience. I shouldn't just do it all in one go. But yeah, really, really amazing game. I'm so impressed with that.
Oh boy! All right. Before we move into the last portion of the interview, what is the main takeaway you want folks? When they're walking away from Hollowbody, when the credits roll, How should they feel in here?
A little bit sad.
I love it.
Yeah.
I fucking love
Like a sense,
it.
so I won't spoil the ending of Chasing Static, but Chasing Static has a somewhat sad ending. It's a little bit anticlimactic, and I think for some people it didn't have enough of a payoff. Because typically with games, you progress through a narrative and you get a big narrative payoff at the end, and you're also partaking in that payoff, right? So your actions are somewhat influencing the ending, or it feels like they are. Chasing Static ended. I like the ending. A lot of people did like the ending. But it wasn't tied into the player's narrative, like as far as their actions throughout the games, I would have liked. This time around, there will be multiple endings, and I'm hoping, as long as I can pull it off, like it's always a gamble, but I'm hoping they will reflect how you've acted throughout the game. Not like hundreds of choices throughout the game that equal hundreds of endings, but I want them to sort of tie in with the emotions you felt when you were considering things as you were playing through the game. And yeah, there will be sort of two endings planned, potentially three. And hopefully, like, there'll be quite significant different endings. Chasing Static had multiple endings, they're all very similar. So I'd like them to feel sad, but also feel a sense of accomplishment.
Kind of like, I just recently rewatched The Mist the other
Yeah,
day. It's on
that,
Netflix, and
oh,
talk
that, yeah,
about a sad
that
ending.
film, yeah.
But it's so satisfying though. Like it breaks you on every level,
I
but
think I genuinely, like, the first time I saw that film, I jumped up and went, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, so I did not think they would do that. Yeah, I always talk to people about that film whenever we talk about horror films, because it's not an amazing film in
No,
itself,
it's not. It's
but I think.
a case study why I think you can make an argument for why practical effects are sometimes better than CG. And also, when you're adapting a piece of media from, let's say, a novel to the big screen, you can deviate and
Yeah.
have really amazing results, because that was not Stephen King's original ending in that
Yeah.
movie. And he was like, he actually felt like a bit jealous that he wasn't the one to have that ending in his original piece of work. Because,
Yeah,
like,
I
this was
bet.
darker than what my mind could have thought up.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite endings of a film. Yeah, brilliant.
So good. All right. So, Nath, I kind of went back and forth on this because we've done rapid fire before and I know what makes you tick. So I kind of want to nerd out for a few minutes on this whole like Silent Hill comeback,
Yeah.
because I feel like you're one of the few people that I know that understands the feelings I felt while watching this like 45-minute presentation of just Konami coming to their senses
Yeah.
with Silent Hill.
It was amazing. I know there's always going to be people complaining because they don't want to engage with new stuff. They want Silent Hill 2 to be Silent Hill 2 and not have to worry about explaining, oh, you should have played the original. But just seeing Konami put out a stream with that sort of production values where they're stood in Silent Hill, they're nicely green screened onto it with smoke, they've got like fairly captivating presenters, and then just pushing out these like super high production value trailers, really exciting looking projects, diversity, like five games was it, or four
Yeah,
games in a film.
it was four games in a movie, yeah.
Yeah, it's just I did not expect that. I expected a half-baked announcement of maybe one and like a demo on PSN that probably wouldn't be that great. But just Silent Hill, sorry, Konami have let us down for so long that to see them suddenly just put that much work into it, I was like a kid again. I was so happy.
Listen, we've been starving for quite some time. I feel like we've watched Resident Evil come back. We're now seeing Dead Space making a comeback. And it's like, what? Who did we hurt? What did we do? Why
Yeah.
can't we get just a morsel, like a little something? And they really like over-delivered. Like a lot of it is, take it or leave it, like the Annapurna and No Code game, like Townfall. We don't know what the hell that is yet. This Ascension live series, the choices matter. Like, is it a game? Is it a show? Like, whatever that is. But we were like thoroughly spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so Annapurna, publisher that I really trust, like they put out really high quality games, and like Stories Untold was great. No Code have got a pretty good reputation, and the fact that it's an indie studio, like they're one of the sort of almost double A kind of indie studios, they're like higher budget ones, but the fact that they've given the IP to an indie is fantastic. I think we're going to get something very different from them, which the series needs. Don't know about that Ascension online thing. It's from the Dead by Daylight guys, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's probably going to be some kind of online, like Twitch centric game.
True.
Which is fine. It's not for me. But if they just announced that and nothing else,
yeah,
then I would have been like, get in the bin. But yeah, the fact that we got like Silent Hill F looks cool. I mean, it's just a
TV
trailer, but like, yeah,
you know, the remake of 2 looked incredible. And that's all in real time, you know, running. But like, I know that story so well. And yes, I want to see what it looks like on a modern engine, like, you know, volumetric lighting and fog effects and all that fun stuff. But F, the fact that it's such a wild departure from what the series is.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you for like not doing the cover band Western dev formula of what a Silent Hill game is supposed to be, and doing something that's like if you looked at that trailer without the title card, what is it?
Yeah,
you can't tell what the hell it is.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. The fact that Silent Hill was, you know, helmed by Japanese developers to start with, and that's arguably what made the series so great. They have a very different way of storytelling when it comes to horror. To see it go full circle and be set in some kind of Japanese setting, fantastic. The art, the sort of visual artwork of like having flowers blooming and then like a really gross moldy face flop off at the end.
Oh my god,
that really sold it for me.
Yeah.
I know it's CG and I'm sure the game will look different, but
sure. But it's like, it's so weird, like Silent Hill began as a horror franchise of Japanese developers looking at Western horror through their own lens, like they're interpreting what horror on this side of the world should look like, and now it's like we're going to bring it back to our culture and what horror through our eyes looks like. And it's, again, it had that like kind of Fatal Frame vibe to it.
Meets
Last of Us also in the mix.
Yeah, the F at the end made me think, oh, is it like a crossover? But it did have that similar kind of vibe. Like, I mean, Kuon was like that as well. It's sort of, they tell very unique stories, I think.
And I wonder what that does for a game like yours, because your game, again, it's like the association with the inspiration of Silent Hill for Hollow Body. Now that Silent Hill is back, I'm sure you're getting a lot of that like traffic and attention, like for the algorithm, I imagine. Folks are like, see, now your game gets a little bit more attention, I would imagine, right?
I don't really keep track of metrics too much. I probably should at this point. But I mean, since the Kickstarter, like I've had a couple of thousand new followers on Twitter, which is great. And I do see like every now and then the trailer seems to get retweeted. I made sure with the announcement tweet for the Kickstarter to write Silent Hill in the description so that whenever Silent Hill trends, it's potential for that getting picked up. So, you know, I'm a very clever businessman. That's about as far as it goes. But I presumably it's had like a bit more eyes on it. But I think any kind of stuff like that is good for the whole horror genre, just like introducing more people back into it. People thinking, oh, I used to like playing horror games, but now all I play is Fortnite. Maybe I'll give this new horror game a go. It's cheap or whatever. It's all good.
It's just, it's really refreshing because, you know, for a long time, I made a case that it was only indie developers like you who were really holding on to the horror genre, like what it's supposed to be. Like Resident Evil, you know, that's a mainstay. That's always going to be a thing, you know, in the gaming world. But AAA big budget horror outside of Resident Evil just didn't exist. Like there are a few things, but like seeing Konami, who, you know, really shed all of its IPs in favor of we'll do like our pachinko thing, and that'll be it. Like buy Metal Gear, buy Castlevania, buy Silent Hill, and to see them really like invest into horror of all things. They could have done a Metal Gear thing, and you know that would have been a more of a wider reach, I feel, but they understand that people want this and they cannot mess it up. They know what's writing on these games.
It felt like they were showing respect to it in that sense. Like, they're like, this IP we have is actually really, really valuable to like quite a large amount of people. And it's something they hold very dear. So we need to treat this with respect. And they did make a point of like, you know, having Akira Yamaoka there, having
Yeah, that's
Masahiro
like,
Ito,
I
like,
know. I was like, okay, phew.
yeah, just having them there shows that they're a lot more switched on than we ever took them for. And yeah, that's nice. Horror is back.
And also, like, again, aside from the games, what an undertaking to adapt the second game into a movie. That's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it will be
That's gonna be
interesting.
wild.
It's gonna, I, yeah, personally, I would have tried to tell a, you know, an original story within the Silent Hill universe, because I think the problem with video game adaptations is like we're so used to the original voice cast, we're used to the original character models, especially with like Silent Hill 2, where you've got these really high fidelity CG, amazingly animated cutscenes. It's going to be hard to sort of try and put an actor in that place and like sell it as being the same character. But the same way what he did with the first Silent Hill film worked for me, mostly.
Yeah, I think visually he got it right. It was just the story and some of the pacing, I feel, could have used some tinkering. But
Yeah.
like, it's gonna be rough. Like, I don't envy him, Christoph Gans, because that game, like, even just like that sort of like David Lynch, like Twin Peaks, like delivery of the dialogue in that game, like that's hard to redo or
Yeah.
recapture. Like,
And it's kind of really essential to the vibe as
right,
well.
exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I'm optimistic, but I'm like, oh my God, why would you do that?
It's a brave move.
Yeah, that's like all the balls on you.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have to be careful just not to have any, essentially no action sequences. Like have sequences with characters in peril and monsters. Just don't film them like an action sequence because that is not how they play out in the game. It's always slow and like, you know, the default camera angles or fixed point camera. It's like nothing is like fast camera cuts and flying about, which is typically how you film an action scene. So he's going to have to be very, very careful.
All
We'll see.
right, buddy. I don't want to keep you too long because I'm sure, like me, you want to get back to Signalis and, you know,
Yeah.
with that. But with that, where can our folks, where can our listeners find you, find Hollowbody? Give us the whole social media spiel.
Yeah, so if you search Hollowbody on Steam, that's one word, it'll come up and you can wishlist the game there. That'd be really helpful. Wishlists are amazing. And tell your friends to wishlist, and then Steam sees us as a more popular game, so they put us on more lists and stuff. That's great. You can follow me on Twitter at Headwear Games, one word, and also headweargames.com. That's wear as in software. So like software for your head, man.
Not
Headwear.
like a hat or a pair of sunglasses.
No, definitely not. That's a different thing. I mean, you can buy yourself a nice hat as well, but please visit our site or my site.
Buy a hat and also buy his games.
Yes.
Just the takeaway. You know what? Speaking of metrics and stuff, like, you were part of our showcase. How big of
Yeah.
a bump did you get in wish list when you were part of
Oh,
our showcase?
yeah, no, that was great, honestly. considering like I announced the Steam alongside the Kickstarter, so all of my marketing was sending people to the Kickstarter. Yeah, the wish list is looking pretty good. Last I checked is about sort of 5,500,
Hell yeah.
which is, yeah, that's great for a game that's only been like on Steam for a few months. That's
I
like
love it.
really good. So yeah, super helpful.
We did a good thing, guys. All right. Well, buddy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been
Listen,
great.
the second this is like in a preview, playable state for the masses, I want it in my inbox as soon as
Definitely.
possible. I'm going to send you Barbarian the second we're done with this conversation so you can
Nice.
watch that in between your sessions of Signalis. And then we'll talk on Twitter about that. But dude, thank you so much. You're always a joy to talk to. You're like my horror guy. You get it.
Thank you.
And I
No,
love you for
it's been a pleasure. Yeah.
it. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Go wish list Hollow Body. Go get Hissing Static. It's half off. It's $8. You hooligans. You barbarians. Go get that game. You'll make me mad. All right. Thank you, Nath. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please, please be excellent to each other and go play a horror game. It's Halloween. Go for it. Get scared. All right. Until next time.